From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. My name is Daniel J. Rowe, Bard Brawl co-captain and co-creator.
And co...
Co-friend?
Co-friend.
Co-friend of Andre, who's here.
I'm also a co-friend.
First off, let's start with Eric Jean. Eric Jean is present with us at the Bard Brawl for the fifth act of Pericles, Prince of Tyre. The first four acts you can find at bardbrawl.com. Eric Jean, how are you this night? It's getting cooler. You must like that.
Yes, I'm happy about that getting cooler business. I can sleep at night without having to run my AC. It's good.
I don't even run my AC. Stephanie E.M. Coleman is beside me once again for Act 5. Thank you for the drawing of the fish. What inspired the fish drawing?
Wanted the fish to go fishing. See how it feels.
The fish to be fishing. And then the fish are fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Does that mean the men are caught in the net of the fish?
Mm-hmm.
Andre Simoneau, who has not seen Aliens or Terminator 1.
Correct. Nor Jaws.
Nor Jaws.
I think I haven't seen Jaws or Aliens either.
Gaping holes that you don't even know about. It's like dark matter. You don't even know it's there, but it's there.
It's
a dark space within you all. Welcome, Andre Simoneau. You're our sub for Mr. Jay Reed, who could not be with us. Dinner with an
or
something.
Is Jay Reed our sub for Andre Simoneau?
Who
couldn't be with us earlier.
I'm here now. That's what counts.
He is here.
Ready to give it my all. Put me in, coach.
All right. I like the enthusiasm here. I like it. We are on Act 5 of Pericles, Prince of Tyre. Now, Andre, you weren't here for the first four acts, but I compared Pericles to Terry Gilliam's Baron Munchausen.
One of my childhood movies.
Or Don Quixote's, Cervantes' Don Quixote. A series of events occurs to Pericles with a central theme of Eric Jean. What's the point?
Rulership and flattery are kind of the big two big themes.
Right. Yeah. This is more of a sketch, like a sketches series of scenes that starts off with him being in a riddle involving incest, fleeing for his life, being shipwrecked, having a daughter, thinking his wife is dead. His pregnant wife is dead. She gives birth. He throws her overboard.
Yes.
She's not dead. She gets picked up by pirates.
The daughter gets picked up by pirates.
Daughter gets picked up by pirates.
Time out.
Okay. Eric.
All right. So after he flees because of the whole incest thing, he then says...
Which is Act 1. Bardbrawl.com.
Act 2 basically is, I better get out of here. Otherwise, Antiochus, who's the perverted dad, is going to exact vengeance on the people of Tyre. So
also, barbrawl.com.
Yes, barbrawl.com, barbrawl.com. Then he runs away and shipwrecks. He washes up on the shore and ends up meeting his wife. They leave and they're trying to return to Tyre and they get shipwrecked. Or actually, no, sorry, they get caught in a storm. She dies, or he thinks she dies in childbirth. The kid survives.
Yes.
They throw her overboard in a casket. She
the
washes
wife
the shore. Yes, and she is not dead.
She's not dead.
But Pericles thinks she's dead, and she thinks she'll never see Pericles again. The daughter, for some strange reason, is left with Cleon, who's the king of Tarsus, who we meet in Act 2. And Pericles says, listen, I fed your people, you raised my daughter for 18 years. How does that sound? Okay, great. So he leaves the daughter in their care, and then returns home to Tyre. And that's pretty much where we're at.
No,
so,
she sells them. Sells the daughter to...
No, sorry. I did miss a thing. The wife of Cleon tries to kill, 15 years go by, and Marina, Pericles' daughter, grows up, and the daughter, the wife of Cleon, tries to kill her because she's better than their actual daughter. But as they're trying to kill her, she gets abducted by pirates instead and brought to Ephesus, I think, where they try to make her a prostitute. But instead, she ends up converting all of the dirty men of the town to become good, virtuous, non-Christian Christians.
This is Pericles' daughter.
Yes,
yeah. Marina.
Marina.
Because she was born at sea.
But, the Pericles' wife, who he thought was dead, and put in a casket and threw overboard?
Yeah, he thought she was dead, so they gave her basically a burial at sea.
Okay.
But she wasn't
She was just
dead.
Out cold.
Yeah, she was, I don't know, brought back to life by Miracle Max or whatever.
Saruman.
Yeah, Saruman.
Oh, Saruman.
She washes ashore somewhere else, and we don't hear from her again?
Well, we see that she makes it, and that she's brought back to life. And then, well, we'll see in Act 5 whether we see her again.
Pericles kind of heartbroken about all this?
Well, he's heartbroken, but he, you know, has to get on with
it. You gotta get on with it.
Trying to go
you
back.
Just throw your wife over the boat and then...
Yeah, so he does. Daughter. He does go back to Tyre and reclaim his mantle.
Because the incestuous king gets struck by lightning. And
so does his daughter.
And so does his daughter. This place sounds very confusing. But actually, as we've read it, you realize how simple it is. It's a great example for you young playwrights who want to do this sort of... Oh, like Andre, for example. Who want to do this sort of thing where you have a bunch of different scenes and get them all to make sense. Mm-hmm. Amrit was saying early, he's like, it's really easy to see what's happening.
Yes.
So you don't get confused and all over-plotted, even though there is a lot of plot. It's
well,
kind of brilliant
not,
that way.
But it's not, like, if you compare it to, like, a complex, sort of high-drama HBO series show, where there are about six plots running side-by-side, here the plots are sequential. Nothing happens side-by-side, so it's one after the other. So first this happens, then that happens, and there's sort of the thinnest little strand tying everything together. And in Act 5, well, we'll see how neatly that gets tied together or not. But it doesn't. You don't have to keep track of 16 different characters. Like, once Antiochus is done, he's done. We don't have to worry about him anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So it's easy to keep track of in that sense.
It's a good play. I like it. Much like I like very much.
It's like a Star Trek The Next Generation series.
Yes.
Where each episode, each act, kind of doesn't really rest on the previous act. And yet the characters continue to change and evolve.
TNG was some great moments in my life.
Make it so, Daniel.
Mm. Yeah, make it so. This is the Barbaugh going pound for pound with Shakespeare, much like Aliens and Terminator 2 go pound for pound in my soul for supremacy on the sci-fi ladder.
Mm.
No, I will not take any of your comments, Blade Runner fans. I've seen that movie so many times, I think I fell asleep 80% of the time. Right.
It's pretty, though.
It's pretty dry.
It's very pretty, but
pretty.
It's no Aliens. Come
it's
on.
It's a fashion movie. Come on.
A fashion movie, indeed, and every act in this play starts with a prologue, which we discussed ad nauseum in previous acts. Eric is our Gower, 15th century poet.
Yes.
Who wrote in Old English.
Middle English.
Man.
The late 14th century. But this play is actually very... Gower, like, he did the same thing. He had these sort of little episodes back-to-back in his poems.
So this could be a tribute to Gower, almost.
I guess, although, why wouldn't you tribute to Chaucer is a completely...
Yeah, it is
I don't understand. But
maybe he didn't like Chaucer.
Maybe Chaucer didn't like him.
Maybe. Well, that's something for you, Barb Brawlers, to discuss on barbrawl.com.
Barbrawl.com.
Someone left a comment on your page.
My page?
Yeah, you've
got a
fan. You've got a page on Barbrawl, and someone left a comment about it. Yeah. Hey, Andre, good work. Well, you should give me a call or something like that. Act 5, prologue, Gower. Enter Gower.
Marina thus the brothel scapes and chances into an honest house, our story says. She sings like one immortal, and she dances as goddess-like to her admired lays. Deep clerks she dumbs, and with her neely composes nature's own shape of bud, bird, branch, or berry, that even her art sisters the natural roses. Her inkle, silk, twin with the rubied cherry, that pupils lack she none of noble race, who pour their bounty on her, and her gain she gives the cursed bawd. Here we her place, and to her father turn our thoughts again, where we left him on the seas, again. We there him lost, where, driven before the winds, he has arrived, here where his daughter dwells, and on this coast supposed him now at anchor. This city strive, god Neptune's annual feast to keep, from whence Lysimachus, our Tyrian ship, espies, his banner sable trimmed with rich expense, and to him and his barge with fervor hies. In your supposing once more put our sights of heavy Pericles, think this his bark, where what is done in action more, if might, shall be discovered. Please you sit and hark.
Exit. The equivalent of having that, like, text that scrolls along the bodies of bottom of movies where it tells you like 5 years later and it's all done in typewriter, like tick, 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 and the Coen brothers made fun of it in that one movie, the Burn After Reading. Anyway, Act 5, Scene 1. So Pericles is on the sea once again with the fish metaphor, fish themage, marinal themage, etc. Pericles, that will be Mr. Andre Simonos subbing in for Jay Reed. We have Helicanus. Was someone Helicanus?
I believe you may have been
I remember that. So you can be the sailor, gentleman,
Lysimachus.
Lysimachus. Was someone him?
Nope, he's new.
Okay, Stephanie.
Lipsmachus.
You're Lipsmachus.
Lipsmachus. Mm-hmm. Who was Marina? Was I Marina?
And you were
I was
Marina.
The wife. Mm-hmm. But was I the daughter also?
Maybe.
All right, I'll be Marina, I guess.
Okay, is she talking to you?
Oh, yeah. She probably says something.
Yeah, she says something. Okay. So, Bard Brawl, we read all of these plays cold, and we explore them as we go. Much like Pericles is exploring his life as he goes.
Ooh, yeah. It's very deep.
Very good. On board Pericles' ships, off Mytilene. Close pavilion on deck with curtain above, Pericles within, reclined on a couch. Yeah, this one has actual, like, stage directions. Unlike most.
Because it wasn't written by Shakespeare.
Yes, it wasn't.
Well, they're not really in the first editions, are they? I don't have these stage directions.
Oh. Enter Helicanus. To him, two sailors, one of Tyre, the other of Mytilene. Tyrian sailor, Eric, to the sailor of Mytilene.
Where is Lord Helicanus? He can resolve you. Oh, here he is. Sir, there is a barge put off from Mytilene, and in it is Lysimachus, the governor, who craves to come aboard. What is your will?
That he have his. Call up some gentleman.
Ho, gentlemen, my lord calls.
Enter two or three gentlemen. First gentleman, Tyre, Stephanie.
Doth your lordship call?
Gentlemen, there is some of worth would come aboard. I pray, greet him fairly. Exit gentlemen, sailor of Tyre and sailor of Mytilene. Enter Lysimachus and lords with the gentleman and the Tyrian sailor.
Sir, this is the man that can, and ought you would resolve you.
Hail, reverend sir, the gods preserve you.
And you, to outlive the age I am, and die as I would do.
You wish me well. Being on shore, honoring of Neptune's triumph, seeing this goodly vessel ride before us, I made to it to know of whence you are.
First, what is your place?
I am the governor of this place you lie before.
Sir, our vessel is of Tyre. In it, the king, a man who for this 3 months hath not spoken to anyone, nor taken sustenance, but to prorogue his grief. Oh, he is sad.
Mm.
Pericles is sad.
Very sad.
Oh.
He prorogue his grief. We know what that word means because our prime minister likes
does
to
it
prorogue.
All the in time.
It's his favorite thing.
Anyway.
I'll just put my head in the sand some more and avoid the problem.
But to prorogue his grief.
Upon what ground is his distemperature?
'Twould be too tedious to repeat, but the main grief springs from the loss of a beloved daughter and a wife. Barbrawl.com, Acts 1 through 4.
Come on, God.
May we not see him?
You may, but bootless is your sight. He will not speak to any.
Yet let me obtain my wish.
Behold him, Pericles discovered. This was a goodly person, till the disaster that one mortal knight drove him to this.
Sir King, all hail, the gods preserve you. Hail, royal sir.
It is vain. He will not speak to you. Lord Mytilene, Eric?
Sir, we have a maid in Mytilene, I durst wager, would win some words of him.
'Tis well bethought. She, questionless, with her sweet harmony and other chosen attractions, would allure and make a battery through his deafened parts, which now are midway stopped. She is all happy as the fairest of all, and with her fellow maids, is now upon the leafy shelter that abuts against the island's side.
Gives an order to a lord who goes out. Sir, all effectless, yet nothing will omit that bears recovery's name, but since your kindness we have stretched thus far, let us beseech you that for our gold we may provision have, wherein we are not destitute for want, but weary for the staleness.
Oh, sir, a courtesy which, if we should deny, the most just gods for every graft would send a caterpillar, and so inflict our province. Yet once more let me entreat to know at large the cause of your king's sorrow.
Sit, sir, I will recount it to you. But see, I am prevented. Enter lord with Marina and a young lady.
Oh, here's the lady that I sent for. Welcome, fair one. Is it not a godly, goodly present?
She's a gallant lady.
She's such a one that, were I well assured, came of a gentle kind and noble stock, I'd wish no better choice, and think me rarely wed. Fair one, all goodness that consists in beauty, expect even here, where is a kingly patient, if that thy prosperous and artificial feet can draw him but to answer thee in aught, thy sacred physic shall receive such pay as thy desires can wish.
Sir, I will use my utmost skill in his recovery, provided that none but I and my compassion maid be suffered to come near him.
Come, let us leave her, and the gods make her prosperous.
They withdraw. Marina sings the song. Advances.
Marked he your music?
Oh, nor looked upon us.
See, she will speak to him again.
Hail, sir, my lord, lend ear.
Pushing her roughly back.
I am a maid, my lord, that never before invited eyes, but have been gazed on like a comet. She speaks, my lord, that maybe hath endured a grief might equal yours, if both were justly weighed. Though wayward fortune did malign my state, my derivation was from ancestors who stood equivalent with mighty kings. But time hath rooted out my parentage, and to the world awkward casualties bound me in servitude.
Aside.
I will desist, but there is something glows upon my cheek and whispers in my ear, go not till he speak.
My fortunes, parentage, good parentage, to equal mine. Was it not thus? What say you?
I said, my lord, if you do know my parentage, would not do me violence.
I do think so. Pray you turn your eyes upon me. You are like something that... What country, woman? Hear of these shores?
No, nor of any shores, yet it was mortally brought forth, and I am no other than I appear.
I am great with woe, and shall deliver weeping. My dearest wife was like this maid, and such a one my daughter might have been. My queen's square brows, her stature to an inch, as wand-like straight, as silver-voiced, her eyes as jewel-like, and cased as richly, in pace another Juno, who starves the ears she feeds and makes them hungry the more she gives them speech. Where do you live?
Where I am but a stranger. From the deck you may discern the place.
Where were you bred? And how achieved you these endowments, which you make more rich to owe?
If I should tell my history, it would seem like lies disdained in the reporting.
Prithee, speak. Falseness cannot come from thee, for thou look'st modest as justice, and thou seemest a palace for the crown truth to dwell in. I will believe thee, and make my senses credit thy relation to points that seem impossible, for thou lookest like one I loved indeed. What were thy friends? Didst thou not say when I did push thee back, which was when I perceived thee, that thou camest from good descending?
So indeed I did.
Report thy parentage. I think thou saidst thou hadst been tossed from wrong to injury, and that thou thoughtst thy griefs might equal mine, if both were opened.
Some such thing I said, and said no more but what my thoughts did warrant me was likely.
Tell thy story. If thine considered prove the thousandth part of my endurance, thou art a man, and I have suffered like a girl. Yet thou dost look like patience gazing on king's graves, and smiling extremity out of act. What were thy friends? How lost thou them? Thy name, my most kind virgin. Recount, I do beseech thee. Come, sit by me.
My name is Marina.
Oh, I am mocked, and now by some insensate god sent hither to make the world to laugh at me.
Patience, good sir, or here I'll cease.
Nay, I'll be patient. Thou little know'st how thou dost startle me to call thyself Marina.
The name was given me by one that had some power, my father, and a king.
How? A king's daughter, and called Marina.
You said you would believe me, but not be a troubler of your peace. I will end here.
But are you flesh and blood? Have you a working pulse and are no fairy? Motion! Well, speak on. Where were you born, and wherefore called Marina?
Called Marina, for I was born at sea.
At sea! What mother?
My mother was the daughter of a king who died the minute I was born. And my good nurse, Lycorida, had oft delivered weeping.
Oh, stop there a little.
Aside.
This is the rarest dream that e'er dull sleep did mock sad fools withal. This cannot be. My daughter's buried. Well, where were you bred? I'll hear you more to the bottom of your story and never interrupt you.
You scorn. Believe me, 'twere best I did get over.
I will believe you by the syllable of what you shall deliver. Yet give me leave. How came you in these parts? Where were you bred?
My king, the king my father did in Tharsis leave me, till cruel Cleon with his wicked wife did seek to murder me, and having wooed a villain to attempt it, who having drawn to do it, a crew of pirates came and rescued me, brought me to Mytilene. But, good sir, whither will you have me? Why do you weep? It may be you think me an imposture. And no, good faith, I am the daughter of King Pericles, if good Pericles be.
Ho, Helicanus!
Calls, my lord!
Thou art a grave and noble counselor, most wise in general. Tell me, if thou canst, what this maid is, or what is like to be, that thus hath made me weep.
I know not, but here's the regent, sir, of Mytilene, speaks nobly of her.
She never would tell her parentage. Being demanded that, she would sit still and weep.
Oh, Helicanus, strike me, honored sir. Give me a gash, put me to present pain, lest this great sea of joys rushing upon me o'erbear the shores of my mortality, and drown me with their sweetness. Oh, come hither, thou that beggest, thou that begettest him that did thee beget, thou that wast born at sea, buried at Tarsus, and found at sea again. Oh, Helicanus, down on thy knees, thank the holy gods as loud as thunder threatens us. This is Marina. What was thy mother's name? Tell me but that, for truth can never be confirmed enough, though doubts did ever sleep.
First, sir, I pray, what is your title?
I am Pericles of Tyre. But tell me now my drowned queen's name, as in the rest you said thou hast been godlike perfect, the heir of kingdoms, and another like to Pericles, thy father.
Is no more to be your daughter than to say my mother's name was Thaisa? Thaisa was my mother, who did end the minute I began.
Now, blessing on thee. Rise, thou art my child. Give me fresh garments, mine own Helicanus. She is not dead at Tarsus as she would have been. By savage Cleon, she shall tell thee all. When thou shalt kneel and justify in knowledge, she is thy very princess. Who is this?
Sir, 'tis the governor of Mytilene, who, hearing of your melancholy state, had come to see you.
I embrace you. Give me my robes. I am wild in my beholding. Oh, heavens bless my girl. But hark, what music! Tell Helicanus, my Marina, tell him o'er, point by point, for yet he seems to doubt. How sure you are my daughter. But what music?
My lord, I hear none.
None? The music of the spheres. List, my Marina.
It is not good to cross him. Give him way.
Rarest sounds, do ye not hear?
Music, my lord, I hear.
Most heavenly music. It nips me into listening, and thick slumber hangs upon mine eyes. Let me rest.
Sleeps.
It's a narcoleptic parakeet.
A pillow for his head. So leave him all. Well, my companion friends, if this but answer to my just belief, I'll well remember you.
Exit all but Pericles. Diana pierced Pericles as in a vision. My temple stands in Ephesus, hie thee hither, and do upon mine altar sacrifice. There, when my maiden priests are met together, before the people all, reveal how thou at sea didst loose thy wife to mourn thy crosses with thy daughter's call, and give them repetition to the life. Or perform my bidding, or thou livest in woe, do it and happy by my silver bow. Awake and tell thy dream.
She disappears. This is literally Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, celestial Dian, goddess Argentine, I will obey thee. Helicanus!
Enter Helicanus, Lysimachus, and Marina. Sir?
My purpose was for Tarsus, there to strike the inhospitable Cleon. But I am for other service first. Toward Ephesus turn our blown sails. Eftsoons, I'll tell thee why.
To Lysimachus.
Shall we refresh us, sir, upon your shore, and give you gold for such provision as our intents will need?
Sir, with all my heart, and when you come ashore, I have another suit.
You shall prevail, were it to woo my daughter, for it seems you have been noble towards her.
Sir, lend me your arm.
Come, my Marina.
Exeunt. So there's Saul was supposed to go to Nineveh, and then he decided to change direction to go to Tarsus. And so that's sort of playing on that, like he was headed to Tarsus and then gets sent to Ephesus, which is one of the New Testament letters, is written by Paul to the people of Ephesus. If you've read
The New Testament,
there's a lot of that at play in here, even though they're using like ancient Greek gods and everything.
Yeah, but there's very little that feels ancient Greeky
about this. Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of moral.
A couple of the names, that's about it.
There's also what was lost is found, and prodigal son, and there's a bit, even though it's a daughter. Ephesus, before the Temple of Diana. Oh, Gower. Is that Gower?
That is Gower.
You're back.
Woo! I even get the last word in this.
Get up on the stage, bro.
Yeah.
It's your time.
Before the Temple of Diana?
Yeah.
All right. Now our sands are almost run, more a little, and then dumb. This my last boon give me, for such kindness much relieve me, that you aptly will suppose what pageantry, what feats, what shows, what minstrelsy and pretty din the regent made in Metellin to greet the king. So he thrived that he has promised to be wived to fair Marina, but in no wise till he hath done his sacrifice, as Dian bade. Whereto being bound, the interim, pray you, all confound. In feathered briefness sails are filled and wishes fall out as they're willed. At Ephesus the temple see our king and all his company. That he can hither come so soon is by your fancy's thankful doom.
Exit. Act 5, Scene 3, the Temple of Diana at Ephesus. Similar to Winter's Tale.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities between these two.
Comes in.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
I know.
And Wako is joining us. For those of you listeners who can see through the radio or who have done some sort of a transcendent...
She did meow before.
Wako's a cat.
Wako is a cat. Yes. Everybody knows. The Barbrawl Nation loves our cat.
Have we talked about Wako before?
She's appeared. She's appeared in other...
She's a page? Yeah.
I'm going to
make a page.
You should.
She does enter every now and then. She's in the video that we shot briefly.
Oh,
people at home can watch it closely and you will see her. The Temple of Diana at Ephesus. Thaisa, standing near the altar. That's what reminded me of Winter's Tale. Because she's standing like a statue and then she becomes... As high priestess, a number of virgins on each side. Saruman. I just like calling him Saruman because he's sort of like a wizard. And other inhabitants of Ephesus attending. Enter Gower.
Weird.
Enter Pericles with his train, Lysimachus, Helicanus, Marina, and a lady.
Hail, Dian! To perform thy just command, I here confess myself the king of Tyre, who, frighted from my country, did wed at Pentapolis the fair Thaisa. At sea in childbed died she, but brought forth a maid child called Marina, who, O goddess, wears yet thy silver livery. She at Tarsus was nursed with Cleon, who at 14 years he sought to murder. But her better stars brought her to Mytilene, against whose shore riding her fortunes brought the maid aboard us, where, by her own most clear remembrance, she made known herself my daughter.
Voice and favor, you are, oh, royal Pericles!
Faints.
What means the nun? She dies. Help, gentlemen!
Noble sir, I need to get the Christopher Lee voice going. Noble sir. No, I can't do it.
Noble sir,
if you have told Diana's altar true, this is your wife.
Reverend Appearer, no. I threw her overboard with these very arms.
Upon this coast, I warrant you.
Tis most certain.
Look to the lady. Oh, she but overjoyed. Early in blustering morn, this lady was thrown upon the shore. I oped the coffin, found their rich jewels, recovered her, placed her here. In Diana's temple, away from men, so that nobody would... Oh, sorry.
Oh, and I also somehow didn't spend the jewels.
May we see them?
Great, sir. They shall be brought you to my house, whither I invite you. Look, Thaisa is recovered.
Oh, let me look. If he be none of mine, my sanctity will to my sense bend no licentious ear, but curb it spite of seeing. Oh, my lord, are you not Pericles? Like him you spake, like him you are.
Would you not name a tempest of birth and death?
The voice of dead Thaisa.
That Thaisa am I, supposed dead and drowned.
Immortal Dian.
Now I know you better. When we with tears parted Pentapolis, the king my father gave you such a ring.
Points to his ring.
Oh, this. No more, you gods. Your present kindness makes my past misery sports. You shall do well, that on the touching of her lips I may melt and no more be seen. Oh, come, be buried a second time within these arms.
As Marina.
My heart leaps to be gone into my mother's bosom.
Kneels to Thaisa.
Look who kneels here, flesh of thy flesh, Thaisa, thy burden at the sea, and called Marina, for she was yielded there.
Less than mine own.
Hail, madam, and my queen.
I know you not.
You have heard me say, when I did fly from Tyre, I left behind an ancient substitute. Can you remember what I called the man? I have named him oft.
'Twas Helicanus, then.
Still confirmation. Embrace him, dear Thaisa. This is he. Now do I long to hear how you were found, and how possibly preserved, and who to thank besides the gods for this great miracle.
Lord Saruman, my lord, this man, through whom the gods have shown their power that can first, from first to last, resolve you.
Reverend sir, the gods can have no mortal officer more like a god than you. Will you deliver how this dead queen relives?
I will, my lord. Beseech you first, go with me to my house, where shall be shown you all was found with her, how she came placed here in the temple, no needful thing omitted.
Pure Dian, bless thee for thy vision. I will offer night oblations to thee. Thaisa, this prince, the fair betrothed of your daughter, shall marry her at Pentapolis, and now this ornament makes me look dismal, will I clip to form. And what this 14 years no razor touched to grace thy marriage day, I'll beautify.
So he's going to shave.
I'm going to clean up a little bit.
Oh, he's got a beard. That's why she didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Well, at least this play explains why they don't know.
Lord Saruman hath letters of good credit, sir. My father's dead.
Heavens make a star of him. Yet there my queen will celebrate their nuptials, and ourselves will in that kingdom spend our following days. Our son and daughter shall in Tyrus reign. Lord Saruman, we do our longing stay to hear the rest untold. Sir, let's lead the way.
Exit.
That's convenient. Thaisa's dad dies, so Pericles is going to set himself up as king there, and then his daughter and her new husband will be king of Tyre.
It's pretty convenient. Fairy tale-like.
Yeah. It's nice. I like it. I'm happy.
Yeah. Epilogue. Oh, Gower, your last word. Enter Gower for one last tour of the battlefield.
In Antiochus and his daughter you have heard of monstrous lust, the due and just reward. In Pericles his queen and daughter seen, although assailed with fortune fierce and keen, virtue preserved from fell destruction's blast, led on by heaven and crowned with joy at last. In Helicanus may you well descry a figure of truth, of faith, and loyalty. In reverend Saruman there well appears the worth that learned charity a wears. For wicked Cleon and his wife, then fame hath spread his cursed deed, the honored name of Pericles to rage the city turn, and him and his they in his palace burn. Nice. The gods for murder seemed so content to punish, although not done but meant. So on your patience evermore attending, new joy wait on you. Here our play has ending.
Exit.
Very nicely done, Bard Brawler readers. We thank you to the other Bard Brawlers who were in the previous acts. Mickey, Amrit, Jay. Am I missing anybody?
I don't think so.
Those were the other. If I'm missing you, I'm sorry. Do you think, I was thinking about this. First off, fairies have pulses, right? Like, fairies have pulses. He says fairies. You're a real person, not like a fairy that doesn't have a pulse, but I think fairies have pulses.
Fairies maybe? Are kind of spirits.
According to True Blood, which I watch, fairies have pulses.
Okay. Then they have pulses, clearly.
And light magic. I was thinking, every time there's a Shakespeare anything, someone always does Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes.
It would be nice if they did this instead. Every once in a while, because it's just as fun.
This play's got a bit of
actually a little funner. I think
Teletubbies like sort of OCD factor, where like the kids don't need to be paying attention because it's a news story ADD. every 20 minutes. Oh, sorry, ADD. Yes, OCD is my problem. But the little sort of ADD thing, right? Where, like, you don't need to be paying attention. You just need to go, oh, whatever. Sort of stuff's happening.
Wait a second. Did you just knock the Teletubbies?
No.
Yeah.
It's okay. Oh, yeah, it's okay. You can do that if you want. But, yeah, it's fun. What I would love to see, and we were talking about this before, is, like, it'd be fun to stage because every act, you could bring a new... and it's always an island.
Yeah. It's actually the perfect sort of high school drama play because there are so many characters, everyone can get a part.
Yeah.
There's, like, 16 sailors, 12 pirates.
Yeah.
There's a couple, you know, bunch of lords. So you have your four or five main people, you know, Pericles, Helicanus. You know, like
Pericles, the drama kid, the guy who's actually...
Yeah, the kid who's going to one day be in movies.
Yeah.
But everybody else, like, there are parts for everyone. Like
the math kid can do the Gower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, either that or the Gower, the prof. The prof keeps...
Yeah.
It's very important
to
contextualize.
I won't say what...
It'd be hard to produce professionally, though, because there are so many parts.
Yes.
Yeah. You would have to deal with a lot of...
You could have a boat on stage.
It would be fun. Awesome. It would be a challenge, but I think it'd be fun. So that's for you, play producers, to take up the gauntlet or just do a movie. Everybody does movies now. Why has nobody done this... a good movie of this. It would...
Big budget.
Yeah, no, but interest, I think. How much budget was in Hamlet? Like, how much did they spend on that?
Yeah, but Hamlet's, like...
Yeah.
People know it.
Pericles would need to appeal to people...
All you need is marketing, man.
Yeah, but...
Just put incest in the title.
That's true.
And then
but it couldn't be marketed as Shakespeare. It's like, it's not recognized.
Oh,
it's not
the
a...
incestuous tragedy of Pericles. And then people get just disappointed. It's like, this isn't...
This has nothing to do with incest.
Just the first act.
It's just the Princess Bride of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
What it
Ooh.
Is. And
success.
In fact,
yeah.
There is even a Miracle Max. He's not dead. She's not dead.
It's got everything.
She's only mostly dead.
It's got everything. It's all a fairy tale adventure story.
I love that movie.
It's wonderful. And
you're confusing
that's why
that
I liked
word.
It the first time and everyone was hating on it.
I do not think it means what you think.
All right, well, thank you, Barb Brawlers, for joining us for this rare production of Pericles, which you have not seen. If you have seen a version of it...
Let us know.
Let us know about it. I love hearing people's tales of versions they've seen. You can do so by leaving a comment at barbbrawl.com or on Facebook or Twitter. We're all over the place.
Call our personal numbers.
Call my personal
doorsteps.
Numbers, my rotary dial phone in the other room that rings in the
Stock
middle of the
work.
Night. Yep. Letters, carrier pigeons... Do not release black carrier pigeons. There is a raven that takes offense in my region and attacks black carrier pigeons.
I see.
Warning to all. We will join you next time where we will be discovering another play. What will it be?
Or the speeches.
Or the speeches, right, first.
But then another play.
Then another play. Speeches first, then another play.
Suggestions welcome.
Suggestions welcome. We will...
No Midnight Summer Night's Dream. Sorry, what?
Suggestions of speeches from this play.
And suggestions for next play.
Suggestions for next play. We can't do Midsummer Night's Dream because summer is over.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
And winter is not here, so that eliminates two plays
Ooh.
You can't choose. Anyway, we will be with you shortly.
See you next time!
Classic. You always say that. You can't see anything.
Sonnet 44. If the dull substance of my flesh were thought, injurious distance should not stop my way, for then, despite of space, I would be brought from limits far remote where thou dost stay. No matter then, although my foot did stand upon the farthest earth removed from thee, for nimble thought can jump both sea and land as soon as think the place where he would be. But ah, thoughts kills me that I am not thought to leap large lengths of miles when thou art gone, but that so much of earth and water wrought I must attend time's leisure with my moan, receiving not, by elements so slow, but heavy tears, badges of either's woe.
Very well done.
Love it.